All right. Oh, any thoughts on what we talked about last night? The ascension.
Good topic.
Let's go to Psalm 68.
How are you differentiating between resurrection and ascension?
Well, night and day.
What?
It's night and day, but I haven't, but I, in my communication over the last few years, I've assumed that everybody understood that the resurrection included the ascension because of what we talked about many years ago. But it hasn't, it didn't, and so there's a whole lot of confusion. The resurrection was his raising from the dead. The ascension is when he ascended into heaven. And he ascended, remember, 10 days before Pentecost. But the ascension was humongous. I mean, without the ascension, we wouldn't be able to be seated on the mercy seat. Otherwise, that's why I think there's been confusion that when you just talk about resurrection and we're sort of walking around in the earth and time and space and blah, 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 but it's that's not where we are. We've ascended to the mercy seat. And so the only one that's on in time and space is the evil one.
So are we resurrected and ascended with him? It seems like he had to be ascended before we could be resurrected.
Well, he had to die and we died with him. He was resurrected, we were resurrected with him, and he was ascended, we ascended with him.
I was thinking where he told Peter,
I don't remember that scripture.
Yeah. Is that the one that says, suffer me first to go bury my father?
He was talking to Peter about having, I think it was Peter, but he had to go to the father.
Well, that was much earlier.
Where I go, you can't come.
That was much earlier in the if it's what I think you're talking about.
I'll have to look that up.
All right. Let's go to Psalm 68. Everybody there? No? A long time ago, the Jews identified this psalm as the psalm that celebrates that God has gone before his people. And what we're about to read is about the ascension. So let's start verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap you high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And that hill is Mount Zion. And there's, he's saying, why do you leap, or why do you have great confidence in your highness, the highness of you as a mountain. My mountain, my hill, if you will. He'll dwell in it forever, and it's the New Jerusalem. It's Mount Zion, but the true Mount Zion, not the parable of one in Israel. Okay. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell. It doesn't say among them, it says in them. So at Ephesians, Paul is repeating, he led captivity captive, and he ascended on high. The difference is how he describes. He said, there it says, in Ephesians it says, and he gave gifts to men. Here it says, thou hast received gifts for men. Now, what are the gifts that he gave?
A new life.
The gift that he gave, or gifts, is really himself. And how the myriad of ways that self is manifested in his people. But it's important that you hear this. If you understand now the ascension, then you know that's where you are. You're on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim. That's where he took you. You have to take some kind of effort to get off of it, i.e. you have to lean on your own arm of understanding, or you have to love the world, or you have to make judgments about people, or whatever. You have to take stands, Tom. But the point of it is you are there. The real you is there. The evil one, the prince of the power of the air, is the only one that has control over you when you're in time and space. And you think you're doing the Lord's work, but he shall say, I never knew you, because you're not of the same nature. All who dwell on the earth are deceived, without exception. Amen? You're chewing, not just your mouth.
I think this, you know, that scripture has never left me as far as a corrective scripture.
What scripture?
What about depart from me, I never knew you. And it doesn't matter what you act like or all your, it's Corinthians 13 love. It's it all passes away except for love. And if you're not in that place in him with my fortitude about, then you might as well shoot yourself. I mean, that's,
yeah, but again, it's where are you dwelling?
Yeah.
From the beginning of time, people knew they had an inheritance if they were of him. Sometimes people visited periodically. But in the Messianic age, which began at his death, that's our dwelling place. Unless you want to return to earth. You return to time and space because you've got things to do. And if you have things to do, then your eye is evil. Because that's what evil means there. Your eye is evil, you have things to do. And even if your eye is evil, even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Well, it's already been received.
But every time we turn to ourselves,
then you return to time and space.
Then I return to time and space, and I deny
and yes. put him in prison.
Right. And I decided I'm more important than him.
Can the dwelling place be described?
Yes. It's the temple, the New Jerusalem. It's on the wing, under the wings of the cherubim, sitting on the mercy seat. A total rest.
In terms of daily life, those are kind of religious terms.
Well, in terms of daily life, is that, it's, you don't have anything to do except be at rest, worship him. You have no investment in the outcome of anything. You have peace that passes all understanding.
I used to always think it was my investment, no investment in my deeds or my projects. It's equally important I have no investment in how people respond to me or don't respond to me.
Well, that's the definition of a Jew, remember. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart, and he no longer needs the praise of men, or he praises it. The response of men is no longer part of his life. So,
I don't mean that in a way. I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way to spit in people's eyes or stomp on their toes, but it's the other subtle.
But it's not an issue. That's the whole point. No matter whether it's somebody stomping on their toes, it's not an issue in terms of you no longer need the praise of men. Yet everybody does need the praise of men. You've grown up needing the praise of men. Now it's time to shed it. And that praise of men is not worry about the condemnation of men. I mean, it's double-edged. All right. We're still in 68. Verse 19, now blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies. This thing about the wounding the head is all over the Bible. And then it comes to the penultimate one in terms of the evil one resurrects from his deadly head wound. And again, that's what you do by giving breath to things in time and space. Because again, what that says is you give breath to the evil one when you love the world. Anybody understand that? And to love it just means to give it importance. Remember, that's the verb form of agape. It's agapeo. It's a common word in the Greek language. Agape, the divine love, was coined by the Septuagint writers, but later it was coined and used extensively in the New Testament, because people say, well, it's divine love because no human can do it. So he wounded the head of his enemies way back in Psalms. This was 700 BC or something. But anyway. And the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on an instrument followed after. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in this congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. Well, it goes on and on. Anyway, it's about the Lord has always gone before wherever we, his people, go. Let's go. Let's talk about this feast for a minute, because I decided I want to talk about this because Mr. Ross taking a stand is leaving us.
You want to get all you can out of me, right?
Why?
You want to make sure you get all you can out of me, right?
No, I want to talk about that minor, so-called minor feast of Lag Ba'Omer. When I believe the ascension happened. After the destruction of the temple, the feast of Lag Ba'Omer was changed. It was celebrated, as far as I can see, the 40th day. But they changed it, because it was such a minor feast and nobody understood it. They changed it after the destruction of the temple, because Rabbi Akiba, who was that's why there's Akiba academies all over. He was considered, if not the greatest, one of the top three rabbis in history. And he had 24,000 disciples. And they are primarily the ones that wrote a guy named Shimeon is the one that primarily wrote much of the Zohar and much of the Talmud, in fact. But because these 24,000, they were the greatest rabbis of any generation because of who their teacher was. They were all killed, except for seven, or five or seven, depending on who you believe. And Rabbi Akiva wasn't killed, but the 24,000, approximately, died of some plague or disease. And it went on to be that they died because they didn't love one another. They didn't show love to one another. They were constantly engaged in all kinds of crap. But the reason then Lag Ba'Omer changed to the day, I think it was the day that Rabbi Akiva died, and it was 33 days after the counting of the Omer, the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer rather than the 40th day. Now every culture has some kind of activity during this period of time. The two things that were the hallmark of Lag Ba'Omer, and they still are doing. In fact, it's interesting, the Lag Ba'Omer is the most universally celebrated of all the Jewish feasts in the world. And what it is they make these humongous bonfires. And Tom would have been good at that bonfire he made in wherever we were.
Rich Ranch.
But that's the kind of, and in it they throw their old mattresses, their old clothes, It's, but it's a time of humongous celebration. And they really don't know why. I mean, it's just, it's fun. It's in the spring, early or late spring, and depending on which of the month, you know, that month thing that happens every 3 years. But every culture, there's this thing about the burning of these humongous fires, and then they give 1,000 reasons why they have fire. The current rabbis, you know, because of this or because of that. And then they shoot arrows into the sky, but they have rubber tips on them now. And it's great fun for the kids. And the 3-year-olds get their first haircut on that day, and it goes on and on and on. And it's a wondrous festival, but nobody understands why they do it. But in Germany, they shoot real arrows into the sky on this period of time. And every culture has some kind of, it's not the spring fertility festival, it's something else. There was one weird one in Norway, but I can't remember it. You'd expect a weird one to be in Norway. But my point is I believe it's the day that he ascended. And it was changed from the 40th day when he ascended to the 33rd day in honor of Rabbi Akiva, of the counting of the Omer.
This is the same Rabbi Akiva who backed Bar Kokhba, called him the King Messiah or something
right.
like that.
Rabbi Akiva was that rabbi that was so. But he wasn't killed in the Roman War.
Right.
But Bar Kokhba was killed.
Yeah.
And Bar Kokhba, he had defined, Rabbi Akiva had said Bar Kokhba was the new Messiah, was the Messiah.
And that Simeon is Simeon the Righteous, is quoted a lot.
Simeon is Shimon. He's the one that's really probably wrote the Zohar.
You know, I've run across both of these in what I've been reading.
Yeah, and the Zohar, you know, I've told you before, they say it was the oldest book in the world and it was written before Moses and all that kind of stuff. No, it wasn't. It was written during this period after the temple was destroyed by Rabbi Shimon. But they were brilliant rabbis, Rabbi Akiva and Hillel. They came real close. And one of Hillel's sons came. He nailed it. Simeon. And Simeon is the rabbi that grabbed the baby Jesus during his circumcision ceremony. And his writings were destroyed forever.
What? Kind of an oxymoron here that if he was such a great rabbi, why did most of his disciples be killed or die of self-seeking?
No, not loving one another.
If we're not loving, well, I mean, say.
Well, that's the point, but that's the contradiction, one of many in Jewish history, or for that matter, in Christian history.
Yeah.
They didn't blame the rabbi, they blamed the students.
I mean, that same thing applies to Akiva, who's so, you know, looked up to, and yet he.
That's what we're talking about.
Bar Kokhba is the King Messiah, and obviously it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
The problem is not the messenger, the problem is the people who hear the message.
Much of the Talmud is, he's quoted all over in the Talmud, both Akiva and the Shimon. But anyway, this 40th day, the Lag BaOmer, is the day that Christ ascended. He had to ascend 10 days before to Pentecost, in order that, because all of his disciples and 500 others had been with him at least, and so they were Levitically unclean because they'd been with a dead body. And so they had to go through now and come to the 10 days before Pentecost, or Shavuot, and go through the cleansing of the ashes of the red heifer. Otherwise, they couldn't have been eligible to go to Passover. They were being cut off from the people. So, there we get it.
Interesting.
We'll get back to Luke tomorrow. Anybody have any other thoughts on all this?
I have a thought, but it's back to near the front of the bar here of loving the world. And if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. But I think there's a distinction between the earth and the world. The world, I believe, is its systems and ways of surviving and its attractions, man-made, let's say. But it doesn't seem that that would include the earth and its natures and flowers and trees.
Well, if that's the word for world. The world there is ion. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, it's ion.
And that means?
That ion is the zeitgeist of the world, of any
zeitgeist.
Age.
Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist. Well, however you pronounce it.
Yeah, the
Z
word.
Huh? The Z word. I'll just say the Z word and you'll know what I'm talking about. I try to say it the last time Rosanna said it, and I always get it backwards.
You'll be corrected, don't worry.
I know. But, so it includes the all the value systems, all the cultures of any given time in history be not conformed to the world, but be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Present yourself. That's peristemi. When you present yourself, you're giving yourself to another for his disposal. It doesn't matter what he, it's not you or no part of you are your business anymore. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Just world without definition of which it's talking about.
Well, we've talked about it many times.
I know we have, but it needs to be recently. Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Last chance, Tom.
Did that help with your understanding of a blog by Omer a little bit?
Actually, I was pretty far along on most of that.
No, I know, but I mean that the 40th day was actually the 40th day.
Yeah, I hadn't heard the 33rd day thing. I still have been founding. Most of the records I found say it's the 40th day.
Well. Most of the present today's celebration.
The calendars today.
Huh?
The calendars today.
Yeah. The calendars today celebrated on the 33rd day.
Well, at least give me something to watch out for because I thought it was the 40th and I had never even.
All right.
But basically, we're just talking about the ascension.
Yeah.
Put everything aside, that's the focus.
Whatever
day it took place.
But the day, we know what day it took place because it says in the...
Right, it says in the New Testament.
In Acts. It took place 40 days after his... 10 days before
Pentecost.
On the morrow after the Sabbath, the counting began. On the morrow after his resurrection... I mean, he was resurrected in the morrow after the Sabbath, so that's the counting. And so, anyway. Take it, big guy.